Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
It is time for our monthly visit to Canada. We're not heading to Toronto, though. The CNIB Chief Exec, John Rafferty, is in, John?
Labrador.
Ah, now, I have a Labrador, but I have never been to Labrador. So tell me why you're there.
Well, you know, Canada's a extremely large, physically geographic country. And there are definitely some incredibly unique challenges with people that live in rural, remote, and particularly remote and northern communities. You know, the urban centers within Labrador themselves are a few thousand people. Many of the communities you can only access either by boat or by float plane, or as many people in the UK and around the world like to watch when the rivers are frozen, they can get there by ice trucks.
As you say, it's of extremes. You know, you get the really hot weather, you get the ice, and there you are in Labrador. Now, we are going to be chatting just a little bit about the path to change. Does that relate to where you are at the moment?
It does. I think that, you know, having a goal, particularly on access to healthcare and integrating the essential rehabilitation services into the continuum of care, is easy to comprehend when you're in an urban centre, you know, a Montreal, a Toronto, and Ottawa. But when you're looking to get something into one of the many First Nations communities in rural Canada, like Shishishwe, where I've just recently visited, it's an entirely different proposition. And we need to understand how we work with our First Nations community and healthcare providers to ensure that you know, losing sight or being born with blindness or low vision doesn't mean isolation in those communities.
And geography playing a huge part in that, because obviously you have the difficulties in getting services, even just eye checks, and as you say, just that general information that sight loss is treatable and there are many ways around the obstacles, so some people see them.
Yeah, I think we don't sometimes remind ourselves in Canada that we have pockets of the country where the primary reason for blindness is completely avoidable. You know, we have people not able to get primary care, access to optometry visits. Many of the communities, you know, deal with, you know, very specific basic needs around access to food and clean water and access to healthcare services. So you layer on that, you know, one of the kids that I met with, who, you know, is going through the school system and how we can help support the school system in their education. You know, all of the challenges need a slightly different solution, probably not unlike challenges within remote areas in Australia, within remote areas in the other kind of northern Scandinavian countries as well.
So, you know, the individuals that you're talking about providing the help and assistance, but perhaps even providing extra help to, you mentioned schools, you know, support for them as well.
Yeah, it's about working with the entire community. The thing that I think struck me the most is that everybody has to do things together. The whole way that communities there exist is so tight-knit that working with the various First Nations groups, we need to do it in a very collaborative way, very respectful also from a cultural perspective of their way of life. So you can't take the user manual, the playbook for how to deliver services, whatever it is, and apply it into these communities the same as you would in urban centres.
So a very almost person-centred approach then. You're looking at the individuals, you're looking at society, and really trying to get that message across it in whatever way you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that exists across Canada in a very large way, and we're always looking for what's the right model of access, both at the primary care as well as the tertiary care levels. So it's been fascinating. I think that many of us can appreciate the challenges when we discuss them in a room, but when you actually get an opportunity, even though it's just for a short period of time, to kind of contextualize it by visiting the communities themselves, hopefully it'll allow me to ensure that how we provide service in remote areas of the country is more top of mind when we're talking about how we organise the services we provide.
Okay, looking at something else just briefly, John, which is effective globally, but some very positive news coming out of Canada is to do with the Marrakesh Treaty.
Yes, we've spoken about it before, Alan. We're really thrilled to now be able to announce that we've received royal assent. within government. So in Canada, that's the Governor General. Having had the bills go through Parliament and through the upper house, which is called the Senate here. So we will now be within that first 20 organizations. And we're the first G7 country to have got it through to royal assent. And I think that what we're very proud of is the role that the Canadian government and Canada has played in helping ensure that this isn't just something for the developing country, it's something for all of us.
Indeed, global access really to accessible literature.
Yes, absolutely. And so it's finally, we've been talking about it for a while, we would hope that we'll tick the box and have received the 20 countries very, very shortly so that the treaty goes into effect.
Okay, let's finish things off, John, then, in a rather leisurely manner.
Yeah, well, it's sunny out and it's the summer and it's beautiful. And something that is not uniquely Canadian, but very Canadian, is sitting in a boat in a lake fishing. And it is part of that summer experience that's quintessentially Canadian. But we had a fishing derby, a fishing competition. It was a fundraising based competition for us as an organization. But what was really fantastic for us to do was to take people who are clients, blind or partially sighted individuals, who had never been in a boat, never picked up a fishing rod, and to be able to have them experience catching many, many fish. There was a gentleman yesterday who caught 30 fish his first ever day out in a boat. And, fishing is an incredibly accessible and an incredibly kind of physical and tactile experience. We encourage it in many of our camp programs. It was certainly something very special for this individual yesterday who, as I said, had never been in a boat, never picked up a fishing rod and caught 30 fish, including, and these were pickerels, kind of a type of trout, lake trout, including one that was 30 inches long. So that he had to fight on the line for 10 minutes. So that was, I just think, something that is very inspirational. And I think we've unfortunately got him hooked now, and no pun intended. And he's going to be fishing for the rest of his life.
Fantastic. John, pleasure as always speaking with you. Just finally then, if people would like to learn more about CNIB and the services, how do they get in touch?
Friend us on Facebook at cnib.ca, as well as our website, or follow us on Twitter.
John, look forward to catching up with you in July. For the moment, though, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.